Let's go tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. We've been trying to consider this faith chapter. I feel like sometimes we get in the, hopefully you're better than me in a lot of ways, but sometimes I get in the habit of just singing songs that we sing very often. And the words in How Firm a Foundation kind of stood out to me tonight. And that's a song I know very well, and sometimes we get on autopilot when we sing those. How firm a foundation is laid for your faith in His excellent word.
Amen.
And we considered from the first Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is the substance, and that literally means the foundation. And the foundation for your faith is settled in the word of God. And God gave us that. I'm thankful He gave us His Word to establish our faith, to strengthen our faith to where we can examine the evidence, we can have a stronger foundation of that faith, because as He goes on to tell us in verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. That's how vitally important faith is to our life. And I'm thankful that He gave us that foundation that we can rely upon, that's stable and secure and firm.
Amen.
That can stabilize our faith. This evening, rather, we want to consider verse 3. We'll start reading in verse 1 just to get the flow and the context. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So tonight we want to consider faith in the biblical creation. Now, we have in God's excellent word, how firm a foundation we have in God's excellent word, He gives us clarity on what happened at the beginning of the world, and obviously we weren't here to see it.
Yes.
Right? No one was here to see it. So, regardless of what anyone believes about the creation of the world, they believe it by some version of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, someone that's not a child of God doesn't have the capacity to believe it in a fruit of the Spirit, vital faith way,
right,
if you will. But anything that you have not seen yourself, that you have not verified yourself to a degree, you believe in it by faith, right? Because
mm-hmm.
It's not just a biblical principle. We walk by faith and not by sight. Anything that you don't see, you have confidence and faith in it if you haven't seen it yourself and verified it yourself.
Right.
So regardless of what anyone believes about creation, they actually believe it by faith. But the faith of the child of God tells you that even though the things that we see, the things which are seen, I was not there to witness them being created, I still believe by faith that the things which are seen were made of things which do not appear, which is God.
Yeah.
God's invisible. And I can't see God. It takes faith to believe in God. It takes faith to understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, think about this in relation to what we have in the book of the Psalms, that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. All right? Now, if you reject the fact that there is a God and you don't have faith, how are you going to believe that this world was created? You know, if you X God out of the equation,
right,
how are you going to believe that this world is created? Well, obviously, you're not going to believe God created it without faith.
Amen.
Okay? Without faith that's given in the new birth. Now, none of us were here to witness that. And we have to believe in some account of creation. And the question is, what is the most reliable source for that information?
Right.
And for the child of God, the answer to that is the most reliable source that you have available to you are the scriptures of the Old and New Testament.
Amen.
Okay? And there is a reason that the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis have been under such heightened attack.
Amen.
Especially in America in the last 100 years. if you will. This is obviously a very important and prevalent, timely topic for us tonight, but especially here in a college town that, even though Mississippi State is, in the grand scheme of things, a very conservative college, even in a conservative college, it is still generally promoted that the first 11 books, the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis is not factually correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the most important aspects of, I hope, the ministry that we've attempted to establish here in this area, is to provide an infrastructure and a stabilizing network for students that are coming to a college and being exposed to things that they have not previously been exposed to before, and having a framework in place for them to understand the things that they're hearing at college through the Word of God.
Amen.
Not just through our worship here on Wednesday night, but through our Bible study that we've had this semester. It's very important to have that connection point to point them back to the authority of the Word of God.
Amen.
When they are hearing things that are contradictory to what this scriptures teach. Okay? You know, Satan is a master fabricator.
Amen.
And even though the methods and the way in which the deception has changed over time, and it's a lot different in 21st century America than it was in the beginning, really, Satan's primary desire is, first of all, to exalt himself to a level that he would receive the glory that God deserves. He doesn't deserve it. God does deserve it. And he has tried to, it's interesting, Satan has tried to establish his own kingdom in a way to somewhat replicate God's kingdom. And he has his own kingdom, and he has his own principalities and powers and levels of authority and things like that. But the original deception in the Garden of Eden went back to Satan undermining the authority and the accuracy of the Word of God.
Yes.
Okay? And if Satan brings a doubt into your mind over the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, then that casts doubt on the entire rest of the Bible.
True.
And that's why the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis have been under such heated attack. Okay? In our public school system, in the elementaries, middles, and high schools, all the way up to college. And now, is it any surprise, after that has become so readily adopted in the last, especially the last 50 or 60 years in America, that now we're starting to see the moral decline in our culture as a whole?
Amen.
We're starting to see
yeah.
the effects of a multiple generations now of people that have been taught to question the validity and the accuracy of the biblical account of the creation. Okay? And now we're starting to see the effects of that. Because when the authority of the and the accuracy of the entire word of the beginning of the word, if you don't believe Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, then that questions, that challenges your belief and confidence in everything else in the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay? And this book was inspired and preserved for his people, that we would be throughly furnished unto all good works. Even though there are people that have, even believers that, due to the nature of their profession, have been forced to teach things they may not fully agree with, we always need to be mindful of where the ultimate power and authority for this type of deception comes from.
Right.
And it comes from Satan. Okay? It comes from Satan. In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." It's not just about the person that's teaching evolution or
Amen.
Teaching a science that is falsely so-called in a classroom setting. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And Satan has influence, notice, in high places of this world.
That's right.
Spiritual wickedness in high places. And that type of corruption in a high place can obviously impact and corrupt many people that are affected by that type of authority. Systematic indoctrination, if you will, of these type of truths. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, at the conclusion of this epistle, he's warning Timothy, the Apostle Paul is warning Timothy to beware of quite a few things that would undermine and challenge his ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some have professed and have erred concerning the faith. Grace be unto thee. Amen. Oppositions of science, falsely so called. Now, true science will always validate the biblical account.
Amen.
Okay. The Bible is not primarily a historical book, but when it speaks on historical things, it has been proven to be factually accurate.
Amen.
Read the book of Daniel, where it details hundreds of years of kingly dynasties, hundreds of years before they even occurred, with unchallengeable precision.
Amen.
And the Bible is also not primarily a scientific book. But when it speaks of science, it is accurate.
Amen.
Because it's written by God. It was inspired by God that created the laws of nature. That created this earth. That created everything that makes up science. So when it speaks of science, it is accurate. And true science will always validate that. Now, let's just go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light and that it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. In verse 5, it says that the evening and the morning were the first day. That details a 24-hour literal day.
Truth.
Okay.
Amen.
The Jewish day began in the evening at roughly 6 p.m. It was technically when they first saw the first star, but at roughly 6 p.m., our day begins at 12 a.m. Their day began at roughly 6 p.m. And this was originally written, these first five books of the Bible were written by Moses, and they were given originally primarily to the Jewish people. And the Jewish people would have known exactly what this meant.
Amen.
Because this was referring to a Jewish day.
That's right.
Its immediate firsthand audience would have known that evening and the morning were the first day. None of them would have thought, well, that actually means millions upon billions of years. Any Jew, when they heard that, they would have said, no, that's 24 hours.
Amen.
Right? The evening and the morning were the first day. And the Bible goes on to say the exact same thing in all 6 days. The evening and the morning were the second day, the third day, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and then God rested on the seventh. And in 6 24-hour literal days, God created everything that we see here in this earth.
Amen.
That's what your Bible teaches. Okay? Now, there is science that test the composition of different elements and things like that. And I'm definitely not a scientist, but I understand that things during this time, the way that things are set up now, they age at a certain rate. And I understand if you backdate that, if they age at a certain rate now, if you backdated that, how someone could possibly reach the conclusion that, hey, it must have took billions of years or whatever for this rock to reach this level. Now, I always like to explain it like this. In John chapter 2, when Jesus turned the water into wine, he did it at the power of his voice. Okay?
Yeah.
But if anyone tested the physical composition of that wine, anyone, any scientist would have said that this wine has fermented for years.
Amen.
And by the way, it was also the best wine that this goodman of the feast had ever tasted. So that tells me, you know, wine as it ferments is supposed to get better, apparently. So that means that he would have presumed that this wine must have been fermenting for not just, you know, it didn't just get fermented yesterday. It had been fermenting for 30, 40, 50 years. And I guarantee you, if you would have tested the chemical composition of that, any scientific test would have said that this has been fermenting for 50 years.
Well said.
But you know what? It reached that level of maturity based on the power of the voice of God.
Amen.
Okay? Now, when he created Adam, and he made him a full-grown man with the ability to reproduce, he told him that on the sixth day. He created him, he breathed into, his nostrils the breath of life, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Well, you know what? If God gave him that command, that means he had the ability to do it.
Amen.
And also, in chapter 2 of Genesis, you see that Adam was very busy on the sixth day. Okay? The second chapter gives you kind of a zoomed-in, more detailed account of what happened on the sixth day, because he created the male and female both on the sixth day, and it was all on that day that he named all of the animals that he didn't find a helpmeet, and he put him to sleep, and he created Eve. That all happened on the sixth day. Okay? Now, this is a man that was full grown, that had the ability to reproduce,
yeah,
and had the mental capacity to name every animal that there was.
Amen.
All right? He was made a full-grown man. Mm-hmm. Now, whatever he appeared as, a 25, 30-year-old man, let's just say that he appeared, looked like a normal 30-year-old man. I guarantee you that if any scientist or doctor examined Adam during that time, if there happened to be somebody there, he would have said, based on every single bit of knowledge that I know about science, this man is 30 years old.
Okay.
But you know what? He was made a full-grown man based on the power of the voice of God.
Amen.
Okay? And I just believe that God made a full-grown earth.
Yes.
If you let me put it like that. You know what? God made a full-grown earth that had the ability. He had trees that, not just man, animals, trees, everything. When he created them, they had the ability to reproduce, to replicate. And you know what? I bet if you tested the physical composition of some stone, it may have took, based on the way things age right now, a billion years for it to get to the stage that it is right now. But you know what? He can create a billion-year-old rock like that.
Amen.
Because he wants to, because he commands it. So understand, that is not contradictory to the biblical account.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. That science is not contradictory to it. They're just not understanding that science through the right framework.
Amen.
Why? Because they're not looking through the lens of faith.
Amen.
Right? It takes faith to understand that. Because if all that you can supposedly put your faith in is science, and science tells me this is the formula that for how old this has to be, that's the only thing that you can rationalize in your own mind. But you know what? Faith says we believe in something that we can't see.
Amen.
Faith allows the child of God to understand these things. Okay? Now, there is no overlap between what is presented in the book of Genesis, especially the first chapter of Genesis, between the kinds of animals that God created. Okay? Now, the biggest deception in trying to undermine the book of Genesis and the especially Genesis chapter 1 is Darwin's evolution, okay? And there is certainly a documented aspect of nature that different animals adapt to their environments.
Amen.
Adaptation, okay? Think about just our skin colors. Why is it that some people are very, very white like me? And some people who, oh, by the way, live very close to the equator, have a very darker skin type.
Yeah.
It's because the people that have lived closer to the equator, historically, their skins have somewhat adapted to,
yeah,
to
Amen.
Better live in the environment that they're in. And us folks that, you know, us German backgrounds that where it was probably snowing all the time in Germany, we didn't have to worry about it as much. But you also see that in just basic animals, right? There is adaptation.
Amen.
There's a reason why there's one cat family, there's one dog family, but there's a lot of different types of dogs. There's adaptation, there's changes, but there is only a few kinds that were created by the Lord. And there are no overlap or evolution from one kind to another kind.
Amen.
Okay? And there Amen. Is no changing of a ape or a primate kind into mankind. Why? Because they were created as different kinds by the Lord.
Amen.
And what is unique about mankind, the reason why it's, what's the difference between killing an ape and killing a man? Now, I understand some of the people who believe in evolution put a lot higher value on the life of an ape than they do the life of an unborn innocent baby, unfortunately. But what's the difference between the killing of a human and the killing of a primate? It's because that human is made in the image of God.
Amen.
Okay? And the book of Genesis tells us that. Now, we don't have time to delve into all of the specifics of evolution, but the fact of the matter is there is no changing from one kind to another kind.
Amen.
And even if someone believed that, unfortunately, they still believe that by faith.
Right.
Okay? Because science, we talk about science falsely so-called. Science is observable, repeatable, and verifiable. That means that true science, anyone can go out and say, you know, the scientific method, right? The procedures. This is a test, an experiment that I did. I wrote down the steps that I performed, and this is what occurred. And anyone can go out there and repeat those same steps. And if it's science, if it's a natural law that's being tested that's valid, they're going to reach the exact same, they're going to see the exact same results, and they're going to reach the exact same conclusion. That's science.
Amen.
Okay? No one can test evolution.
Right.
No one has ever proven that. It's a theory. And the only people that believe that, they believe it by faith.
Amen.
But you know what? There's not even good evidence to support the faith and the confidence that you have in that. There's not. What's more reliable? Genesis 1.
Amen.
Your Bible. That gives you the answers for where man came from. He didn't evolve from some other kind or from some primate. The reason why there is life on this earth, the reason why there is life in the kind of mankind is because God breathed into the nostrils the breath of life and made Adam a living soul. Okay? Your Bible gives you that knowledge, but you know what? This Bible wasn't written for the world at large.
That's right.
It was written for the man and the woman of God. And
Amen.
Guess what the man and woman of God has? They've got faith.
Amen.
They've got faith. Okay? Now, it's generally believed that it took billions of years for this world to be created. And there's some believers that have tried to commingle that truth with what Genesis 1 says. And that's where, you know, it says a day, but it doesn't really mean a day. It means, you know, thousands of years, and the evening and the morning were the first day. That means it took this many billion years for this to happen and this many billion years for this to happen. Now, based on the biblical account, there's a reason God could have put anything in this Bible that he wanted to.
Right.
Okay. And there are reasons why God put genealogies in the Bible. One of the main reasons why he traced the genealogy from Adam, and you can study your Old Testament and trace a direct line from Adam all the way to the birth of Jesus Christ in Nazareth. And the reason why he did that, the reason why God gave us that line, is because all these prophecies about the line of the tribe of Judah and all the prophecies about the Messiah, he gave us that information in Scripture so you could validate that.
Amen.
So you could believe it. Well, there's a reason why God gives you such detailed information about the ages of men and when they conceived children and when they died. And you know what? That precision goes away after the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis.
Right.
Now, what's important after that point is not when people were born and when people had kids and when they died. What's after that point is what lineage they came from.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's pointing toward the genealogy of Jesus Christ. But you can look at the genealogies in the beginning of the book of Genesis, and we can determine from the inspiration of Scripture and the information that God gave us in those chapters that this earth is about 6,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You can trace that because this person was this old when he begat so-and-so and he died. You can trace all of that. And once you trace that all the way back, that validates that Adam was created, Abel and Cain were born, Seth was born, etc., somewhere in the range of about 6,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, if that's what the Bible says, but then you go to a class that tells you that this earth is billions of years old, what do you believe? What do you believe? Okay. The evening and the morning were the first day. That's 6 24-hour literal days. And like I said, I'm not necessarily saying all that science that's testing rocks is wrong. Based on all that you know right now, that might be the conclusion that you reach. But you know what? Like I said, God can make a full-grown billion-year-old earth if Amen. He needed to. Amen. And I think that's generally what he did. God, why? Because it's a full-grown earth, right? I mean, it may have took so many billions of years for this to be created under the way things operate right now. But guess what? Things in the first 6 days of this world didn't operate the way they operate right now.
Amen.
Why? Because God was creating this world by the power of his voice as he saw fit. Okay? Now, you don't need to get down in the weeds too much and get so confused about trying to fit everything that you read in a science book with the Bible. If you give science a couple hundred years, generally, they'll usually catch up to the Bible.
Amen.
Okay?
History's proven that, yeah.
Now, I'm going to hit some of these real quick. Brother Joe had a great series on the scientific accuracy of the Bible last year on the Gospel of Grace, and I just poached all of his content from his message. And I'm going to hit these real quick, and if you take notes, hopefully you can jot them down. And if not, I hope you can just kind of pay attention. But the scientific accuracy of the Bible, and again, when the Bible speaks of science, it's always accurate and it's always correct. And obviously, it begins in Genesis 1. God created the heavens and the earth. And then you see something that scientists are always baffled about. You know, it appears in the fossil record. It appears all of the history of, you know, these rocks that we're looking at, that there was some big cataclysmic worldwide event that really changed the way things that happened. And we just don't really know. It seems like the dinosaurs may have been wiped out in this. I just don't really know what this really cataclysmic event that affected the entire earth, and we just really, you know, it's just lost to posterity about what possibly could have occurred. Well, read your Bible. You know what it's called? The flood of Noah. Read Genesis 6-9. Yes, that is a very one time, because God said he's not going to do it again, cataclysmic event that changed everything about this world.
Amen.
Okay? And your Bible tells you what it is. Scientists are baffled, right? About what is this huge global event that seems to have impacted everything prior to that point and after that point? Well, yeah, the firmament. You read Genesis 1, and there's a description of a firmament, and there's water above the firmament, and there's water below the firmament. And then when you have all that water that's above the firmament, when you have all of that being dumped on the earth for 40 days, and you have the bottoms of the oceans being lit out, that's going to affect this earth a whole bunch. isn't it funny how someone that is supposedly so educated just rejects the simple articulation of that in the Bible? Why is that? Why is it so easy for us to see that, so easy for us to understand that? And why someone that all they rely upon is science and the fossil record and everything, why is it that we can believe that and they can't? It's faith.
Amen.
It's faith. The Bible tells us about that, the great flood of Noah. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, Paul makes reference in that sermon that all men come from one blood, one race. Where do we all come from? Adam.
Amen.
We're the race of mankind, and we all come from one blood. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. God's the one that set the light by day. He set the moon out there by night. And it's also very interesting, I don't have time to delve into this, the order in which God, he said, let there be light, but he didn't get around to creating the sun and the moon and the stars until the fourth day.
Amen.
And he created the plants that require the sun to live before he created the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. But notice this about the ordinances of the moon and the stars for light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the moon impacts the tides.
Amen.
Okay? I don't know if I got all these dates down, but I would encourage you to go back and listen to Brother Joe's message. But that was not commonly understood for centuries. And you know what? God inspired it in His Word.
Amen.
And let's look at Job chapter 26 and in verse 7. Job chapter 26 and in verse 7. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. What keeps the earth here? God.
Amen.
Right? Now, there's a lot of scientific gravitational stuff that affects it. But the reason why the earth is at the exact right tilt, at the exact right distance from the sun, having the exact right rotational axis, the idea that all of this could be created by total random chance, there is nothing more foolish than that.
Yeah.
And that's why the Bible's not being rude when it calls the fool instead of his heart. It's not being rude by calling them. What else is there to call somebody that looks at this world and says, well, this just happened?
Yeah.
That's a fool. Amen. That's a biblical fool.
Amen.
The heavens declare His glory. Read Psalm chapter 19. Every language, every speech. There's not a person on this earth that looks up at this earth and there's not something inside of them. I'm not saying all of them are born again,
right,
but they are made in the image of God. And there's not something inside of them that doesn't witness and tell them,
amen,
that this is not random. This,
amen,
is made by an intelligent creator. Even the unregenerate understand that to a certain,
amen,
degree. They choose,
amen,
to reject it, and that's why they're a fool.
Yeah.
Okay? God hung this earth on nothing. Isaiah chapter 40 and in verse 22. Isaiah chapter 40 and in verse 22, it is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Have you ever met a flat earther? Bless their heart. I tell you, there's still some flat earthers out here today. You just keep going long enough, you're just going to fall off the edge of the earth. Look, this earth is circular.
Man.
But you know what? That was not commonly accepted until about 500 BC by a man named Pythagoras. And you know what? Isaiah wrote it down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit maybe 1,000 years before that.
That's right.
Okay? He said it upon the circle of the earth. And also, Brother Joe had a very good explanation about the expanding universe that stretcheth. Notice how that's a present tense term. He didn't just stretched it. Past tense, stretcheth. That's present,
amen,
tense. An expanding universe. We've already looked at Jeremiah 31 and 35 that talks about the tides. That was not commonly accepted until 330 BC. We talked about the expanding universe. That wasn't even postulated until Edwin Hubble in 1929. That's
right.
Only a 20th century revelation. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And in verse 6, the wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north, and it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. That's talking about the jet stream.
Amen.
That wasn't even known about until a volcano erupted in the late 1800s,
right,
that all of a sudden this ash from this volcano started going to the other side of the world. I wonder how that happened. Well, you know what? The wind goeth about his
circuits.
That's,
amen,
the wind stream. Then the very next verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 7. All the rivers run into the sea, and the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. What's that? That's the water cycle.
Amen.
Now, I think that's enough for you for tonight. But the fact of the matter is, when the Bible talks about science, obviously it is going to be perfectly accurate because it's inspired by the God who knows everything and who created science and who created this earth. And there are so many things outside of just the small little sample that I highlighted tonight that were inspired in Scripture hundreds and thousands of years before people actually had enough testing and knowledge in what is true science, not science falsely so-called, right, but true science, to validate what the Bible told us hundreds and thousands of years before. Now, I say all of that to say, you can trust the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay? And there is not a contradiction. There is not, you don't have to pick one or the other and say that all of this science is just totally fabricated. You know what? I may not be able to fully reconcile everything right now, but I'm going to believe the Bible. And you know what? In time, there might be a scientific revelation that gives more clarity on something. But you know what? At the end of the day, do I believe the world or do I believe God?
Well said.
Do I believe science falsely so-called or do I believe the Word of God? Because you know what? There are plenty of folks that probably read the Word of God and said, you know what? I know it says that this earth is a circle, but you know what? I still think if we got to the end of this earth, we'd just fall off. I know the Bible says that it's a circular earth, but I believe this thing's flat anyway.
Right.
Well, you know what? One of these days, there was a scientific study that validated what the Bible said, even though I guarantee you there were people rejecting. Amen. They read the Bible, and they rejected the Bible until science finally validated the Bible.
Amen.
Okay? You can rely upon the Bible. Because I tell you, there's a reason why in the Garden of Eden, the whole reason that there is sin in this earth is because Satan corrupted the Word of God.
That's right.
Is it any surprise that he's not changed his tactics?
Amen.
And there's nothing that you need to have more confidence in than the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Because if your confidence in that is undermined, it will challenge your confidence in the entire rest of the Bible.
Amen.
But you know what? By faith, I can believe that the things that are seen, this creation, you know what? I wasn't here to see it, and I can't physically, tangibly see the God that created it. But I believe that this earth and everything that I see was created by things which do not appear. And how do I believe that? I believe that by faith.
Amen.